This is the first of the financial school that we're going to be starting up. Tonight is going to be an introduction to it. We're going to lay out the economic model and kind of give you an idea of what's coming in the future. You're not going to get it all tonight because this is a big boat that we're turning and it's going to take a while. That's why it's an ongoing school. I believe that God is calling us out so that He can call us in. Amen? Well, let's pray. Father, we just bless You, and Lord, we thank You, and Lord, we give You glory and honor and praise. And Lord, there's so many things that are going on in the world today, and there's so many different voices out there. And Lord, tonight I just ask You to just give us a peace in our spirit, Lord, and let us just put down all the hecticness of the day, and that, Lord, we can come in, and that this isn't just going to be another meeting or another ministry or teaching about finances and prosperity, but that, Father, You're going to take and You're going to open up Your Word in a new way, and You're going to show us, Lord God, because You've promised me this, Lord, that You're going to show us how Your kingdom operates more fully than what we've known up to this point in time. Because, Lord, we know that the formulas of the past are not working at this particular point in time. And we all know in our hearts, Lord, that there is more for Your people in these last days. And so, God, we ask You to just clear our minds of any clutter. Help us to overcome maybe some doctrine that we've been indoctrinated in, that we would have a fresh slate, Lord God, to begin to build some new foundations on, and that we would be able to see into Your kingdom in a new way in the area of money and wealth, especially as we enter this new millennium. God, we bless You and we thank You. I pray Your blessing upon everyone here now in Yeshua's name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. I just want to go through a little bit about what the school is, because the situation right now is that there's much confusion and air-filled teaching concerning biblical prosperity, especially in the areas of finance, investments, and entrepreneurship. How many of you have a witness for that? Amen? Only about half of you. A lot of the teaching that's going on out there about biblical prosperity is not fully biblical. How many of you know we can teach one side of a scenario, and we can teach it so hard and go so far with it that it really gets out of bounds and out of round with the rest of God's Word. Amen? And I don't know about you folks, but boy, that's happening. It's been going on for a while. And the problem is that this unbiblical formulas that we've had in the past, that God has tolerated certain things, they aren't working anymore. And so I really believe that God's people are coming to a place where they're frustrated with that, and now they're ready to move on to this next step. And I believe that this is it. Okay, I'm not trying to make this more than what it is, but this is forerunner stuff that God's going to bring us into. Christian businesses, ministries, and individuals are starting to suffer the consequences of this error. There's going to be... God is shaking everything that can be shaken. Amen? And whatever's not built upon God and His Word, it's going to be, whatever it is that isn't built there, is going to be exposed in every individual institution, whether it be a church, whether it be a financial institution or a government. God is going to expose that which is not of Him, and He's doing that right now. And I'm saying this as a preface, because if there's some shaking going on in your own financial life, don't get offended or don't get upset. Just understand that, well, maybe I'm not doing it right. And then when God speaks truth to you, because He'll speak truth to you individually here. Some He'll speak to in certain ways, some He'll speak to others in certain ways, is that give yourself to that. Don't be prideful and don't say, oh man, I missed it, but just say, oh, okay, and turn around and start moving in that direction. Because unless we turn from the way we have been doing it, whether we've been doing it just because we've been doing it that way, or we were taught that way, or out of ignorance, or whatever, once we get that revelation, we need to turn and go the other way. That's what God wants to do. God is calling His people back to the ancient paths of His Torah in all areas of life, including and especially finance and investments. How many of you are familiar with the term Torah? Okay, all right, well, most of you. Some of you are not. Torah, for those of you who are not familiar with that, Torah just is referring to the laws of God. And it actually means teaching and instruction, the teaching and instruction of God. And the laws of God have not passed away. In fact, the laws of God are imperative for how we walk in the world. And although many of us are learning the Torah and how to apply certain things in our life, when it comes to the financial world, especially investments and financing of businesses and stuff like that, we haven't really come into the understanding of what the Torah says about that. So we've been still doing it the world's way. How many of you know the world's way isn't working anymore? Amen? And you want to know what? We've been able to do certain things in the past using that world system, and we've even prospered in that. I don't know about you, but I made a bunch of bucks in the world system at one point in time. But God's not allowing us to do that anymore because He's calling us out from being of that system. And even though some of those things have worked in the past, God's not allowing that anymore. And there's a reason for it. Is because this world system is right now transitioning into Mystery Babylon of the last days. And God's not going to allow us to transition like He has in the past. He's calling us out. And so if you find that you're really being frustrated, you're plodding ahead and you've been doing things, and God isn't letting you go, it's probably not the devil. It's probably the Lord in His grace and His mercy. And hopefully you'll be able to see what I'm talking about more as we move on to it. So the purpose of the school is to provide ongoing Torah-centered financial education that is designed to help God's people discern the true nature and function of the world's financial system, a.k.a. Commercial Babylon. We must understand that Commercial Babylon, or the world's financial system, is not a righteous system. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. If it was a righteous system, people wouldn't be rich one moment and then poor the next. That's not the way that the kingdom of God works. And if you can manipulate that system, you can make a lot of money. But I've talked to billionaire industrialists from the Southeast Asia crises who told me personally that before the crises over there, they had the wealth of 7 generations. But after the crises, they had the debt that 10 generations couldn't pay off overnight. And that's because their wealth was built upon unrighteous mammon. It was built upon a worldly profit and wealth. And worldly profit and wealth is here today and gone tomorrow. And I want to submit to you that many in the church today are, that's the church of Laodicea, where they say that they're rich and they're wealthy and they have need of nothing, but they're really poor and blind and wretched and miserable and naked. And that's where many of the rich people in Asia found themselves. One minute they were rich, and overnight they were poor. That's because all of their wealth was built on a lie, and we'll see that as we go through. It's also to teach believers how to live and prosper in the world financial system without being of it. Boy, that's the trick, isn't it? To be in the world without being of it. To re-educate the body of Messiah regarding God's unchanging financial laws that govern all business, financial, and investment activities. To assist Christian investors and business leaders in developing kingdom investment models that will endure the great end time financial shaking. God says, replete throughout the scriptures, the righteous shall never be shaken. Amen? And either God's true or God's a liar. And if we find ourselves being shaken in this financial system right now, we have to ask ourselves, is everything that I'm doing in the arena of finance and investments and so on and so forth, is it truly righteous in God? So if we're being shaken, we've got to ask ourselves that question, because I don't know about you, but I want to build a foundation, financial foundation, that no matter what happens out there in the world, I just keep on trucking for Jesus. Amen? I'm not shaken when the world's financial system shakes. Of course, it's going to affect us a little bit, but we're not going to be wiped out overnight. I believe that that's where God wants to take us in this last day and in this last hour. And you want to know what? Is that going to be a witness to the nations? Amen. Everybody's going to be going down the tubes, and the church is going to be, they're going to be cruising. And people are going to say, well, what are they doing that we're not doing? And we can say, well, we're just walking according to God's word. And you want to know what? All of this is found in the Torah. And we can minister to them because salvation is, yes, by the blood of Jesus, but then we come into the fullness of that salvation by walking in His ways. Amen? Get them baptized and then teach them to observe all that Jesus commanded. Hallelujah. Number five is to help believers understand how the prophetic times we are living in affect the world financial system and what we need to do in order to overcome the great financial shaking of the last days. If we don't understand the times, we're going to miss so much, especially as we move closer to the return of Messiah. And the foundational financial model, you know, every financial school has its economic model that it uses. Amen? Can anybody tell me what the economic model of the United States and pretty much the world is? What's the economic model? Huh? Well, debt, but there's a name. It's a guy. It's a man's name. Keynes. John Maynard Keynes. The Bretton Woods Agreements after World War II established John Maynard Keynes' economic model, which uses the full manifestation of fractional reserve banking that debauches the currency, puts the whole world in debt, and ultimately, in the end, that system collapses on itself. Pretty good description of what's going on today. Amen? It's by design, folks, and we have to understand that system, and we need to start coming out. But we got to have an economic model that we can move to. Amen? God has an economic model, and it's all right here in His Word. Isn't that awesome? Don't we have the greatest God that there is? He's a God that is higher than any other gods, because not only does He tell you how to get saved, He tells you how to walk saved. He tells you how to walk in the world and prosper without being of that world. All we have to do is follow His economic model. Some people ask me, because I'm known as a biblical economist. A lot of people ask me in interviews and stuff like that, what's a biblical economist? And I just tell them, it's an economist who understands the ways of the world, but he teaches and walks in the laws of God. Amen? That's what a biblical economist is. Hallelujah. So this financial model, and can anybody give me any other economic models? Just how about Austrian economics? The Austrian School of Economics, okay? Now, huh? Yeah, no, that's not a school of economics. That's just another dysfunctional currency. Is that the Austrian model of economics is the closest that I've been able to come to a biblical aspect of things, but you want to know why it doesn't work in its fullness? It leaves God out. You can't have an economic model that works without incorporating the fullness of God, because it's not just about the economic model, or I shouldn't say it's not just about the financial investment aspects of things, it's a lifestyle. God's economic model is a lifestyle, hallelujah, that includes the financial system. That Issachar economic model consists of three major things, and it's there on the bottom of your first page. Number one is kingdom living based upon the commandments of God. Number two is business and investment endeavors that must follow God's financial laws. We can no longer do things the world's way just because it's legal in the world. How many of you know that there's things you can do in the world that are perfectly legal according to statutes and laws that the world has written? Amen? But how many of you know there's a lot of things in the world system that they say it's okay to do, that when you take that and you put it up against God's word, it's totally illegal in the kingdom of God? And the church has to understand the difference now, and we have to start doing it God's way. And then the third thing is, and this is really a key, is we have to understand the times and know what to do. Because, folks, sometimes God will take you into Egypt, and He'll even prosper you there. Is that right? What about the children of Israel? Jacob and the 12 tribes went down to Egypt. Man, did they prosper there or what? Man, they prospered like crazy. But you want to know what? There was a Pharaoh that came along that didn't know Him. It was the New World Order of the day. And there is a Pharaoh called the Antichrist and his system that's rising up right now that doesn't know the children of God. and is going to attempt to put us into bondage. In fact, many of us are in bondage right now to that system, and we haven't even really realized it. And so God right now is that even though God called us in and He let us prosper in Egypt in the past in the world system, we understand the times, He's not doing that anymore. He's calling us to come out of the world system because He's going to teach us how to prosper His way. And that's why we need to understand the times. And we'll be discussing all of this as we go along. In the first session, we'll be discussing one or more of the three elements of the Issachar model. Or we'll be taking, let's say something happens, some financial blowout takes place in the economy or some currency or something on that order. Bring, when you come to class, bring your newspaper clippings and so on and so forth. And what we'll do, as the Lord leads, if we have some sort of a financial shaking, if we don't take the whole class and talk about it and explain what's happening and why there was that blowout, and then the second half, we'll talk about, okay, what do we need to do based on this blowout? How many of you think that's pretty good? Because it's not just enough to diagnose the problem or say, oh yeah, there's a problem here. And it's in Bible prophecy. And Jesus is going to come tonight and rapture us out of here. I want to tell you, that won't preach in Indonesia. It won't. They'll stone you preach that in Indonesia. What we need to do is we need to say, there's the problem. Yes, it is fulfilled in Bible prophecy. Here's why it's happening. And based on that, do we want to be in that? Or do we want to come out from being of that? And if the answer is yes, which everybody will say yes, how do we do that? And then we'll go to the scriptures and we'll explain, okay, here's what God wants us to do. So it's the fullness of God's word in every area of our life, and the financial system is really the key that's been misunderstood, but God's bringing that to us now. So that'll be pretty much the way that we'll approach that. Hallelujah. And again, like I say, the foundation for the understanding, because when I teach, I'm going to make assumptions that are based on the book and the seminar. And if you really want to get brought up to snuff on stuff, I encourage you to get that and read it before the next class. So let's go to our notes on the first page. This is the Issachar Economic Model for Kingdom Prosperity. And as I said, the first, what would we call this? The first leg of this, or the first pillar of this, is kingdom living based upon the commandments of God. And the reason I choose the Issachar model rather than, let's say, the Joseph model is because the Joseph model will fit inside the Issachar model. But the Issachar model won't fit inside the Joseph model. And there are different models that you can see in the Bible as far as how God works. But I believe from a financial standpoint, the Issachar model provides us the largest platform so that all of the other ways of God and economic models and so on and so forth can fit into that. And the reason is primarily this first pillar, which is kingdom living based upon the commandments of God. This is not just about how you do your business. This is about kingdom living as a whole. How many of you either experience it yourself or you know other people who experience it where in some areas of their life they just got it together and they're just going and blowing for the Lord, but in other areas, man, they're just messed up, really struggling in some areas. Amen? And that's because they've got it, they're doing it God's way in this area, and God's blessing them, but they're missing it in this area. And as a result, this area that they're lacking in even can affect this area over here that they're doing well in. Amen? And what God wants to do is He wants us to come together and take God's Word as a lifestyle, the fullness of God's Word as a lifestyle, so that we can go forward in it. The sons of Issachar had an anointing which allowed them to properly interpret and apply God's law in everyday life. The Targum says, quote, they, talking about the sons of Issachar, the tribes of Issachar, they excelled in the words of the law and were endued with wisdom. Everybody say endued with wisdom. And were obedient to their command. Say obedient to their command. And these are the two things I want to talk about right now. I want to talk about, first, obedience to the commandment of God, and then secondly, being endued with wisdom. Deuteronomy 28. Let's go there real quick. Because Deuteronomy 28 is really one of the foundational scriptures for this particular model, or I should say for this particular pillar, because it gives you the overall aspect and foundation of biblical prosperity. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now it shall be if..." Everybody say if. What does if mean? It means if. It means here's something that's going to come if you follow the prescription. And one of the things that the church has got to get away from is just declaring God's word but leaving out the qualifier. Because when you leave out the qualifier, people go out and expect God to move, and He will not move if you don't fulfill your side of it. How many of you know a covenant's two-part? Is that right? Okay. And so God says, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do 90% of His commandments. 90%? Not good. How about 95? Oh, come on. 99. You got to give me 1% fudge, right? No. It says all His commandments. If you're diligent to do all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. See, we've been taught that we're set high above the nations of the earth in Christ. But I want to tell you this, is if you're not walking in all the commandments of God, you're not high above the earth or all above the nations. If you walk the way of the nations, guess what? You're no different. You're saved, but your lifestyle is no different than that of the world. And how many of you know that world is passing away? Is that right? And so God is saying, listen, if you really truly want to be high above all the nations, it starts with confession, but you cannot confess your way to being high above the nations. You have to do it if what? You obey all my commandments. I'll set you high above the nations. And the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. There's that word again. If you will obey the Lord your God. In other words, again, we've been taught that all the blessings are going to overtake us because of what Jesus did on the cross. There is a truth in that, but in and of itself, it is not the truth. Does everybody understand? Okay? If we walk His way in His word, that's when all those blessings are going to overtake us. And this is really the key. And the reason I'm stressing this and making this such a thing right now is because from this night on, when we go into the other ones, we're going to deal with the world financial system and its ways as being evil and corrupt and not of God. And we're going to blast it. In fact, one of the things that I'm called to do is to destroy your trust in the world system. Amen? That's part of my job, is to absolutely, totally destroy your trust in anything that the world system has to offer you. It goes on. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body. And it goes down there and it lists all of the blessings that are going to come. God's going to bless us in our basket, our kneading bowls. The Lord will cause your enemies, verse 7, to rise up against you, to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way, and they shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing. Ooh, God's going to command the blessing upon your barns and all that you put your hand to, and you will be blessed. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a, what kind of people? Kadesh. As a holy people. As He swore to you, what's that word, next word? If you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. We cannot confess our way to holiness. When we get born again and Yeshua comes into our life by His Spirit, we receive God's holiness. That's the imputed righteousness and holiness of God. But now that we are holy and righteous before Him, do we walk in holiness or do we walk unholy as we were before? Do we walk in the unholy ways of the world or do we walk holy in the ways of Yahweh? Amen? You see, this is about behavioral righteousness. Now that I've received that righteousness by grace through faith and the holiness of God and the sanctification of God, now I need to practice that. And where am I going to learn about that righteousness? It's His Torah. It's the only place you're going to get the foundation of it. It goes on to say, as He swore to you, if you will obey the commandments, let's go to verse 11, and the Lord will make you abound in prosperity. Oh, there's another promise, if we walk in the commandments of God. In the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your beast, let's go down to verse 12. The Lord will open for you His good storehouse, the heavens to give rain to your land in the season, and will bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Ooh! Don't raise your hands. I want to submit to you that God is telling us that if we're doing it His way, there will be no need to borrow. Is that what it's saying there?
Yes.
It's exactly right. You see, folks, the bottom line is that God is bringing His Word. The Torah of God is a lamp. It's a light. It's a sword, and it divides the clean from the unclean, the righteous from the unrighteous, the holy from the unholy. And He's bringing it, and He's saying, okay, and He's laying it out, and He's saying, here's my way. Are you prospering according to my way? Or are you running the way of the world? Because, like I said, God's allowed us to do certain things in the past that He's not going to allow us to do in the future. And what God is doing is He's going to expose those things, not to make us feel bad and guilty and stuff like that, but because He loves us. Is that right? And He knows that if we continue in that path, we will be destroyed financially along with the world system. So He's calling us out, and that's why we have to understand the times. So all of these things, God says, if you obey the commandments, all of these awesome things are going to come, but it's predicated on our obedience to His Word. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 9. Prosperity is a primary benefit of obeying God's Torah. It says, so keep the words of this covenant, and this is on your notes. So keep the words of this covenant, and what is the covenant of God? It's the Ten Commandments, is that right? Amen. The covenant of God in Deuteronomy 4:13, the covenant is the Ten Commandments. That's what it says. So keep the words of this covenant and do them so that you may prosper in 90% of what you do. No. Keep all the commandments so you can prosper in all that you do. Now, you don't have to be a theologian to figure that out. God's pretty straightforward here, isn't He? Amen? 1 Kings 2 and verse 3. This is in the Living Bible. It says, obey. This is when David is instructing Solomon about God's way of prosperity. He says, obey the laws of God and follow all His ways. Keep each of His commandments written in the law of Moses so that you will prosper in everything you do wherever you turn. What a deal. That's pretty easy, isn't it? All we have to do is believe God and do it His way. But you know what? We can't do it His way if we don't know what His way is. And we don't know what His way is if we don't study His way in the Torah. Because, see, the financial laws of God are not found in the New Testament. The financial laws of God are found in the Torah. Woo. And the backside of this is, guess what? Breaking God's commandments keep us from prospering. Look at 2 Chronicles 24 and verse 20. Then the Spirit of God came on Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, thus God has said. Who has said? God has said. Thus God has said, why do you transgress the commandment of the Lord and do not prosper? There's a theme here, isn't there? Is that if we obey the commandments of God, we prosper? If we transgress the commandments of God, we don't prosper. Wow! What a revelation! What's the transgression of the Torah? Sin. Now, is that in the Old Testament or is that in the New Testament?
Yes.
That's in the New Testament. 1 John 2, verse 3 and verse 4. Yeah, Bill, yes, it's in both. John says the transgression of the law is sin. When we break God's commandments, we sin. And does sin bring a blessing or does it bring a cursing? Brings a cursing. Okay, now I know that this is simple for some of you guys, but I really want to make sure that there's no misunderstanding as we move forward. All right. Now you say, well, give us an example of how obedience to God's laws, other than financial laws, can prosper us. Let's go to Exodus chapter 34. Do you remember when you met, how many of you are familiar with the prayer of Jabez? The prayer of Jabez. Boy, did that thing take a left turn. In the prayer of Jabez, Jabez prays, oh God, bless me, and oh God, expand my boundaries or my borders, and oh God, be with me, and Lord, keep me from evil. And I'm just going to take one element of that. I wrote a whole little book on it called The Jabez You Never Knew. And when Jabez prayed the prayer for God to bless him and to be with him and to expand his boundaries and to keep him from evil, you must understand that God did not answer Jabez's prayer simply because he prayed it. He didn't answer his prayer simply because he confessed it. He didn't answer his prayer because he confessed it, prayed it, and gave an offering to somebody's ministry. God answered Jabez's prayer because Jabez was walking in the way of God. Jabez was walking in something that God says that if you'll do this, I'll expand your boundaries. I'll expand your borders. Exodus 34, beginning in verse 21. It says, here, this is the commandment of the Lord. This is right after God reveals his glory to Moses. Verse 21 says, you shall work 6 days, but on the seventh you shall rest. Ooh. Even during plowing time and harvest, you shall rest, and you shall celebrate the Feast of Weeks. What's that? Pentecost. Amen? The Feast of Weeks, that is the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering at the turn of the year. That's the fall feasts. That's the ingathering. Some people say that it's the Feast of Trumpets, which begins the new year, civil new year. Or it could be Sukkot, but I think it's talking, in that particular case, I believe it's talking about the Feast of Trumpets. And then it says this, 3 times a year all your males are to appear before the Lord, the God of Israel. For I will drive out nations before you and enlarge your, what? Borders, and no man shall covet your land when you go up 3 times a year to appear before the Lord your God. In other words, God is saying this way. You want your boundaries to be expanded? How many of you want your borders to be expanded? Amen. We all do. What does that imply? Does that imply greater prosperity? Absolutely. Okay? Unless you're expanding it with debt, then it's just greater bondage. So God says, okay, if you keep my Sabbath, if you keep, and basically what he's saying here, bottom line, bring it all down to the bottom line, if you keep my appointed times, is that right? If you keep my Moed, because you walk in the way of God, guess what? It releases the expanse of your borders. What's the flip side of that? The flip side is if we don't, it's going to hinder the expanse of our borders. Can we extrapolate that from that passage of Scripture and what I was just sharing here? Absolutely. This is the way of God. And so the point here is this, is that part of our prosperity in God is the lifestyle of the kingdom. And in the kingdom of God, he has appointed times that he says you come and you celebrate. Because when we celebrate, we glorify him, his presence comes and manifests, and his presence always brings prosperity. Is that right? Is that good? Amen. And so that's why I'm laying these foundations here tonight. So when we springboard off, nobody's left in the dust. All right. The next thing was that the sons of Issachar were endued with wisdom. Amen? That's what the Targum said. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Because you see, wisdom is a primary key to biblical prosperity. Over and above giving, wisdom is a primary key. Now, is it wise to give to God? Yeah. But how many of you understand that wisdom is the foundation, not the giving? Okay? Can we agree with that? And you'll see as we go here. Beginning in verse 12, it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. I'm reading from the New American Standard. The King James says that I find the knowledge of what? Witty inventions. Ooh! How many of you know to find witty inventions, you have to have some wisdom? Amen? Hallelujah. It goes on. Let's go to verse 14. It says, wisdom says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. And again, New American Standard says, power is mine. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, do not forget the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you power to get wealth in order that He might establish His covenant. Amen? I want to submit to you that part of the power of God to get wealth comes right back to wisdom, because it says, power is mine. Ooh. Let's keep going. Verse 15, by me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. See, this is talking about those who are judging and ruling righteously, not the unrighteous rulers. Amen? There's a distinction here. All those who judge, rule, and judge rightly. Verse 17, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Oh, wow, we have to. But see, the thing is that in the New Testament now, Scripture says that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and He will give it liberally. Is that right? And what has been the general teaching of that? If we just pray and ask God to give us wisdom, then the wisdom lightning bolt is going to hit us. And all of a sudden, oh, I'm wise! How many of you know it doesn't work that way? Yeah, only half of you can admit it. See, there is a word of wisdom that God can give you or give somebody else to give you. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? 1 Corinthians 12. It's like if Pete is, he's stuck on something. In fact, Pastor Mark, he gave me a word of wisdom. I called him about this class because we took a little bit of a break there at Passover. And I told him, I said, God's really laying on my heart on the Sons of Issachar meetings, because before the Money and Wealth that we're starting tonight, we did the Sons of Issachar. I said, but I was focusing mainly on understanding the times, which was Bible prophecy and what was going on and so forth. I said, Pastor, I really feel like the Lord wants me to do more on the financial side of that thing, the first two planks. And he said, why don't you just do Money and Wealth in the New Millennium? And when he said that, it was like, yes, and teach the Issachar model in Money and Wealth in the New Millennium. That was a word of wisdom. He just had it. It was right there. And it released in me this meeting. Now, there are those types of words of wisdom, but the wisdom of God doesn't come like that. The wisdom of God comes when you diligently seek it. Well, where do we diligently seek the wisdom of God? Not just the Bible, but the Torah. Go to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. How many of you know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? He does not change. Is that right? Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. God is speaking here. See, I have... Actually, Moses is speaking. He's doing the overview of everything that God's been saying to him. See, I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do this in the land where you are entering to possess it. So keep and do them. Everybody say, keep and do them.
Keep and do them.
This is talking about the laws of God, including His commandments, His statutes, His ordinances, His precepts, and so on and so forth. So keep and do them, for that is your what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as is the Lord your God, Yahweh Elohim, whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this 90% of the law? No, this whole law. Look at that. Everybody say whole law.
Whole law.
As this whole law, which I am setting before you this day. In other words, what God is saying here is he's saying, look, when you teach or when you learn and teach and then do the commandments of God, the laws of God, how many of you know God is the Word? Is that right? And when we do his Word, what manifests? God manifests. His kingdom manifests. Are we changed more into his image or the image of the world? We're changed into his image when we do him. When we do what God would do in a situation. Amen? And when we do that, the wisdom of God comes and manifests in us. And you want to know what? The nations say, look at those people. They didn't get wiped out in the financial crash. They're prospering in the midst of the worst shaking we've ever had. What's the deal? You want to know what? They're going to come and they're going to say, what are you doing? Why aren't you upset about this crash? I lost everything. How many of you ever lost everything before? Okay, yeah, most of you have. I did. I did in the 87 stock market crash. That's when God opened my eyes to the world system and how it worked. When we do God's Word, it becomes wisdom to us, and wisdom brings that prosperity. Obedience to God's Torah produces a wisdom that brought wealth, riches, and honor for the sons of Issachar. Here's what the Chumash says. It says, as a result, the tribes of Issachar became the primary cultivators of Israel's spiritual treasures, and their counsel and interpretation of Scripture were received as authoritative. Why is that? Because they walked in the commandments and the laws of God. And as a result of their obedience, they were endued with a wisdom that produced in every area of life a prosperity of the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many of you got something out of that session? Okay, about half of you. Okay, praise the Lord. If I can get 50%, I'm in good shape. Hallelujah. Father, I just bless you, Lord God. I give you glory. I give you honor and I give you praise. God, I just ask you to speak to your people, minister to their hearts. God, I ask you to bless them. I ask you to fill them up. I ask you to bless all the work of their hands. Make them the head and not the tail. Put them above, high above all the nations, Lord God, as they come into walking in your ways in the fullness, Lord God, of what you have for us. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen.